The third period of vulnerability is during late peri and into menopause. I feel overwhelmed and I feel old and dated. And I don't feel great about aging. And I want to say that you're not alone.
I think this is so sad. I think aging, especially for women, is often viewed negatively in our culture. This shroud of shame that sits on us.
Menopause is referred to as the pause, but it's like, no one's pausing. You know, we're just getting started.
Katie Fogarty is joining me on the podcast this week. She is the host of A Certain Age podcast.
What I feel to be so liberating about getting to midlife, which I never would have dreamed when I was 18 or 22 or even 32, is that you get to this phase where you feel so much.
Well, hey, Katie, you are the host of the podcast A Certain Age, and you have had the opportunity of speaking with so many experts in the industry, especially experts around midlife and aging and menopause. So what do you feel is the most surprising thing that you have learned from interviewing doctors and health experts on your show?
Yeah, I love this question. I have recorded 170 plus shows and I learned something on every one. It's really remarkable. But if I had to pull back and think of like the landscape of what is the sort of the biggest aha moment I've had in creating A Certain Age podcast, is that the doctors that we think that are helping us manage midlife and menopause and all of the changes that come along with that aren't necessarily experts in menopause. I have learned that that the modern medical system does not do a lot of menopause training, that we've had sort of 20 years of lack of sort of science and education around this due to something called the Women's Health Initiative in the early 2000s, which linked a federal study of menopausal women and its impacts of menopause replacement, hormone replacement therapy, which is now called MHT, how there was faulty science behind this. And there was a lot of media hysteria that made really two generations of women be really leery of hormone replacement therapy for menopause. So, you know, I am 54. I went through menopause right around the time I started this podcast 3 years ago. And I assumed, like many of the women in my life, that my doctor was running the show. You know, that my doctor was giving me all the information that I needed, and that I was in great hands. And I've learned that we really need to be our own sort of primary care doctor. We need to be, you know, working with a menopause specialist. We need to be coming to them with questions that we have about our health. I was shocked to learn that I wasn't necessarily being given all the information that I needed to manage my midlife health. That's a very long answer.
No, I think it's an excellent answer. And how many episodes did you say you've done?
I've done 175. Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot. Was there one in particular that really impacted you personally, a conversation that you had that you walked away and you're like, oh my goodness, I think that really changed the course of things for me?
Yeah, that's such a great question. I apply a lot of the things that I've learned from every show. Sometimes I joke that Dr. Vonda Wright, who I know that you know, who is mm-hmm. a specialist in musculoskeletal health and in bone health, I brush my teeth standing on one leg every day because she reminds me this can help with our balance. So that's like a small thing, but I would say my biggest aha moment, you know, honestly came probably after year one when I had yet another conversation with a doctor who is a trained menopause specialist, who really just opened my eyes to the fact that I needed to be taking care of my own hormonal health in ways that I had not yet done. Unlike many women, probably the women that listen to your show, sometimes we know what we're supposed to do, but we're really busy managing everyone else in our lives. I have three kids and a husband, a puppy, you know, I'm busy managing their health. And sometimes yours takes the back burner. And it was probably like, that, you know, maybe the 12th or 13th show where I talked to an expert about the importance of incorporating hormonal treatments into our healthcare regimen, you know, assuming that we're able to, that we don't have health that is a contraindication for that, that I really thought, like, what have I been waiting for? You know, why haven't I done this for myself? And I got myself to the doctor and I went through my medical history and we worked together as a team to come up with a treatment plan that works for me.
you have been in a really unique situation where you're going through this stage of life in real time.
Yes.
And getting all of this expert advice. It's like you're getting the chance to sit in the offices of all these experts, and then you can go out and put it into practice. I think that a lot of women would crave that type of experience. But, you know, based on your interviews and some of that feedback from your listeners, what things do you think are the most difficult for women in midlife? Is it that hormone thing, just the changes hormonally, or is it something bigger than that? What are the most difficult things for women in midlife?
Great question. You know, I do think that menopause is really a big challenge. You know, menopause, when estrogen exits our body, it impacts every single system. You know, I didn't realize this myself, but we have estrogen receptors on every part of our body, all of our organs, our brains, our bones, everywhere. So when this decreases and diminishes, it does impact all of your systems. I just interviewed a wonderful doctor, Dr. Sharon Malone, who's got a wonderful new book that came out in April called A Grown Woman Talk. And she joked on the show, she said, sometimes I'll talk to patients and they'll say, like, I didn't really go through menopause. And she's like, oh, but you did. Oh, but you did. And I think what women think when they say, I didn't really experience it, is like they didn't have what they see in pop culture and in movies. Like maybe they were lucky and they didn't have incredible hot flashes. Maybe they were lucky and they didn't, you know, have like big sleep interruptions or all those types of things. And so they think that they're fine. But what we don't recognize is that, you know, estrogen and its, you know, exit from our body does impact our cardiac health. It impacts our mental health, and it impacts our bone health too. There's a reason why women have greater rates of osteoporosis than men. There's a reason why women's heart health is stronger pre-menopause, and then after menopause, women are more likely to suffer severe cardiac impacts than men. Women have greater rates of Alzheimer's than men. Why is this? There isn't enough information, but you know, there is definitely a link between the loss of estrogen and the changes that we see that impact our long-term health.
Yeah, and all of those physical changes, whether they're on the surface, you know, something that we're experiencing in the moment, like those vasomotor symptoms of, you know, the heart racing or the hot flashes, or whether it's underneath the surface, like the bone density, the loss of muscle mass, joint health, the joint pain, aches and pains. You know, there's all of these physical symptoms that we can feel, just the vasomotor symptoms of just those hot flashes and heart palpitations, and even bone density issues and muscle loss and all of the physical impacts. But I know that this has such dramatic mental and emotional impacts on women as well. And I've heard from a lot of women in my own audience that it starts to feel like your body has a mind of its own, or you don't recognize your body anymore. And it's like this wake up call, like, whoa, I'm surprised that this is what my body is now. Is this something that you've heard from your own audience too, or maybe you've experienced yourself?
100%. You know, I did my very first podcast with a gynecologist, and I called it, is toxic rage the new hot flash? Because I never had hot flashes. And I was like, oh, I'm like doing this menopause thing right. But I didn't realize that these sort of, you know, volcanic mood swings that I was having was definitely a result of perimenopause and the hormonal roller coaster that I'm on. You know, I think menopause gets a bad rap. It's, you know, menopause means that you're a year past the last time you've had a period. And, you know, once I was firmly in menopause, my mood stabilized, and that sort of roller coaster of hormones that really happens in perimenopause did stabilize. So I myself was, I went through, you know, I was not that much fun to be around for my husband and my kids for a period of time. And I did not realize that hormones, my hormonal fluctuations were definitely causing some of this. That did stabilize. But that was my own experience. I hear this from guests all the time. I hear this from women who are in my community. I think of one woman who sent me a DM on Instagram and said, you know, I really wish I'd found your podcast earlier when I was younger, because I blew up my marriage because I was so all over the place in terms of my hormones and my sort of anger and my you know, upsetness and my sort of mood instability. And she said, I wish I had known that there was going to be light at the end of the tunnel, that, you know, this would have, my hormones would calm down, my mindset would change. I've interviewed a wonderful woman. I know you're familiar with the nonprofit Let's Talk Menopause. Its founder, Donna Klassen, its co-founder, Donna Klassen, came on. Donna is a social worker who specializes in the treatment of women during sort of their reproductive years. She deals a lot with fertility issues, with pregnancy loss, and she shares that there are sort of these moments of challenge in women's hormonal health. They tend to happen in terms of your mental, you know, equilibrium. And this happens when we're young girls, when we first get our periods. It happens during periods. These are these moments of vulnerability, right? When we're first getting our periods, mm-hmm. we become vulnerable during pregnancy and post-pregnancy because there's hormonal fluctuations as well. It can cause things like postpartum depression and stress and changes in mood. And the third period of vulnerability is during late period into menopause. I did not know this. Like, no one had told me this. I mean, it was pretty, you know, I learned it the hard way, as so many of my listeners have. But, you know, the changes in your hormones when you go through this, you know, very natural transition are things that, you know, can be challenging to manage.
Yeah, everything you just mentioned of just, I wish I had known more about this. You know, it just breaks my heart, as I know it does yours. And I know that's part of your mission, is getting this information out there. And when you were talking about that gal you were speaking with, this reminded me of a comment I just read this morning in one of our Facebook groups. This woman said, menopause caused me to lose my own self-worth and value for many years. I'm finally getting stronger and realizing I am a valuable person at 67. And I will admit, I've had some very strong feelings about aging and the way the mainstream media talks to it with such disdain. And I think this is so sad. I think aging, especially for women, is often viewed negatively in our culture. So much, even beauty products are around anti-aging. You know, how to hold on to your youth, how to stay young. And so as we, of course, naturally age and go through menopause, it's almost like this cloud of, this shroud of shame that sits on us. Hey, just a minute. I wanted to tell you about something brand new that we've been working on for you. It is a program called Inflammation Reset. You're hearing from Liz today all about how her life has been impacted by an inflammatory disease. And as a registered dietitian, she knows what it takes to naturally reduce chronic inflammation in the body and dramatically improve your quality of life. So I've partnered up with Liz to bring you this course that teaches you how you can do this too. It comes with beautiful tutorials and interviews, information guides, meal plans, recipes, grocery lists, even a really fun grocery store tour. Just making the process of learning how to eat and live a more anti-inflammatory lifestyle really simple. We're still putting the finishing touches on this, but if you're interested, if you know you need this, you can join the waitlist right now by going to inflammationreset.com, and you will be the first to know when it's ready for you to get started. I will say that this course will probably not be available for purchase all by itself unless you're on this waitlist. Right now, our plan is to bundle this with the Back and Hip Fix program. So if you'd like to just grab Inflammation Reset, this is the only way to do it. This is your only opportunity. Okay. So go to inflammationreset.com, put your name on the waitlist, and in the next few weeks, you will have one of the best anti-inflammatory resources at your fingertips. How can we challenge this perspective and try to turn this around?
Well, first of all, I love that you're having this conversation, that you've created a community where women feel so safe that they can share, you know, sort of their deepest selves, and that they can say, like, I felt lost. I didn't feel like myself. I felt alone, because that vulnerability and that willingness to share in a community of other women, I truly believe, is one of the first steps. You know, women are not alone. Many women are going through this experience. I feel pain when I hear you read your community member's quote. I'm sorry for her years of suffering, and I'm happy that she's in a place right now, mm-hmm. physically, and in a community where she feels safe enough to share those things. So, you know, what a tribute to you that you've created that kind of community. I would say to any listener who maybe is not yet active in Megan's community, but there are communities of women. Talk to your friends, talk to your, you know, the women in your life, your family members, let them know what's going on, because you will share commonality. I think we should all be pushing back against these sort of larger cultural messaging that aging makes you irrelevant and that's something to be feared and fought off, you know, tooth and nail. We live in a capitalist society where we're sold things all the time. And, you know, people make money by making you feel less than. And, you know, that's just part of the reality. And we need to vote with our wallets, right? Let's not buy things that say anti-aging. You know, yes, we want to take care of our skin. Yes, we want to take care of our health. Yes, we want to feel beautiful and attractive, but there are ways of doing that and working with brands and businesses that make you feel seen and supported as you age. And I would encourage you to do that. There's so many wonderful, I think of the makeup sort of, you know, brand leader, Bobbi Brown, who's got a new cosmetic company called Jones Road Beauty. You can still buy beauty products. You can still buy things that make your skin look and feel amazing. But she, all of her ad campaigns are intergenerational. You'll see silver-haired women next to freckle-faced teens. And so, you know, I would say choose to work and engage with content that makes you feel good. And one last sort of tip here is to, you know, scrub your social media. You know, we spend a lot of time on social media, and we want to make sure that we are engaging with voices and accounts and things that make us feel seen and supported and amazing as we age. And if you're letting things, we have to tighten up what comes across our filter, because otherwise it's hard. People are literally making money to make you feel bad. So we have to, you know, not listen to those voices actively.
I love that you said that about social media too. It's something that I've recently done is finding, especially in the fitness space, there's so much aesthetics involved in the fitness industry, just like the beauty industry. And unfortunately, there's a lot in the fitness industry of, look, I'm in such good shape, I still look 20.
Yeah.
Versus, look how strong and functionally fit and active I am as a 65-year-old woman or as a 55-year-old woman. You know, those are the accounts I adore following. Someone who is proud of her age and just able to step into that, like, I am strong at this age. I'm not trying to be younger. I want a body that's feeling great and healthy and fit for as long as I can, but I'm under no impression that I want to try to look 20 anymore.
Exactly. No, aging is living. Right. We want to, you know, if we're lucky enough to have more candles on every cake, you know, you're lucky. The idea, you know, to really follow accounts that make you feel seen, I think is so key, especially because it's, you know, we're sending the right messages to ourselves and to other people. I've had the fitness influencer, Mimi Eisen of Hey Middle Age on, I think she's 60 or 61, you know, her dance videos and workout videos are absolutely amazing. And it makes you feel great, and it makes you feel excited. And that's how we want to be, you know, and you're doing that. I think functional fitness is really, it's key as well. We have to ask ourselves, you know, how do we want to feel and be and move in the world, and then be with voices that align with that.
One thing I love that you do is at the end of each of your conversations, you ask your guests to share how they feel as they age. You just have them fill in the blank. As I age, I feel blank. What are some of the, I'm going to ask you to fill in that blank, but what are some of the most common answers that you hear? And then I want to hear your answer too.
Okay. I love that. I always love this question because I'm always so curious. One of the most hilarious answers was one of my guests said, I feel sweaty, which cracked me up. and I'm like, we've all been there. We've all felt pretty sweaty. But I think at the most, you know, very common themes that emerge are, I feel just like happier, calmer, wiser, more grounded. You know, you get to a certain age and you are laser focused on the road that's in front of you. You're less concerned about other people's opinions, you know, the noise that maybe distracts us sometimes when we're younger, the desire to fit in, the desire not to, you know, make waves or whatever, you know, your listeners might be experiencing. I believe that all women, and probably all, you know, I only interview women, so maybe men feel this way too, but I do think you get to a certain age and you think you're just, you don't have time for the stuff that used to distract you when you're younger. So people tend to feel, I don't know, they have an expansive way of looking at it. People feel just, again, calmer, happier, wiser. If I were to answer this question for myself, a word that I've used in the past is limitless. Like, I really feel more capable of doing things than I did when I was younger, you know, when like society might've been willing to give me permissions, you know, permission slip, 'cause you're younger, you know, I truly feel that getting to midlife has made me more deeply confident in my abilities. It's made me clearer about what I care about. And it's helped me prioritize where I want to focus my energy in a way that, you know, escaped me when I was younger.
Limitless. I love that word. I think it's so encouraging to hear too, because I think there's always something in the back of our mind that's saying, hurry up, like get all these things done because you're going to start running out of time, whether that's with our fitness, like, oh no, the ship is about to sail, I'm running out of time, or with business or with family, you know, we feel like now that we're in midlife, like my window of opportunity is starting to close. And what I love is that you're kind of saying like, actually it's starting to open. And what, like some things are changing and shifting, but hearing that really this is a new phase where things are become like the opportunities are starting to open up in a new way.
It's twofold. Like, I feel like things are opening up and also some ways narrowing, if that makes any sense. Like, my mm-hmm. sense of what's possible is expansive, but my recognition that I want to narrowly focus on the stuff that I truly care about, stripping away some of the BS, you know, has allowed me to narrow my focus and sort of laser hone my energy. So it's like weird. I feel like I'm both. I feel like I could do anything, but I'm truly only going to focus on the things I care about versus the distractions of the shoulds. You should do this. You should do that. You must do this. You must do that. Like, that stuff's gone for me. I'm focusing on, I guess, more narrowly and what I think feel limitless about, if that makes any sense.
So Katie, it almost sounds like there's this identity shift that has kind of taken place, almost like you're wearing a new name tag that you're really proud of. I think thinking back to that identity shift that we went through as we were going through puberty, also as becoming a mother, that was a new identity shift. This sounds like another new one. How does that feel? Like, that's what it's sounding like to me.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's interesting because people will often talk about, you know, menopause is sort of like a second, you know, puberty, because you have the hormonal roller coaster and you have this, you know, sort of big new change in your reproductive health. And, you know, when you're a teenager, I feel, at least for me, I can only speak for myself, like I felt so much more pressure. Like, I felt more anxiety. I felt more pressure to fit in with things. I felt like I was becoming an adult, but in some ways where my choices were, I measured myself against what the group was doing. And I really feel that getting to midlife is this new, yes, you're going through the same sort of hormonal tumult. Yes, it's like crazy. And you need sort of new tools and a fresh toolbox for managing things like health and mood and mindset and relationships. You know, yes, you need things like vaginal estrogen, like things like you, like it was sort of like new, like tampons or like vaginal estrogen. What is this stuff? Like, there's like all these things that you need now. But what I feel to be so liberating about getting to midlife, which I never would have dreamed when I was 18 or 22 or even 32, is that you get to this phase where you feel so much freer. And it's not just for your periods, you just sort of, you know, you feel free of the weight of other expectations. So it is an identity shift, but I say it's a welcome one, you know, and that is something that I hear a lot from the women on my show, that, you know, menopause is referred to as the pause, but it's like, no one's pausing, you know, we're just getting started and it feels phenomenal. So for anyone who's looking ahead, if you're listening to this and you're not yet there, you know, don't be afraid. Find yourself a doctor who can help you with the hard stuff, but you are going to be delighted to get to this phase of life. As long as you get the support you need. and the tools and the resources, because as we shared, a lot of women go through this alone, and that's what's challenging. Find yourself a support team. That's my biggest piece of advice. Girlfriends, women, a doctor who gets it. And if you can't find those things, you know, get yourself a good book. There's a lot of great advice out there. Just know to go look for it.
I could not agree more. And that's the beauty of podcasting and books and information and being parts of communities, is that we now have at our fingertips so many more opportunities than I think women did even 10 years ago to get the information that we need. And the work you're doing is phenomenal, bringing together so many incredible people in the industry. And we just appreciate you so much for joining us today, Katie.
Well, I loved having you on the show. Everyone needs to listen to Megan when she was a guest on my podcast. That's how we got introduced. And, you know, I feel like we're in a very similar space about, you know, sharing and wanting to give women tools. Because we trust our listeners. We know that if they have the tools they need, that they're going to use them and they're going to thrive. So it's fun. And I use all the tools that I learn on my own show. I learn something from every expert, including you, Megan, including you. I'm still doing my bridges for my piriformis muscle. So don't think that you haven't made a difference. I'm like every day, I should probably need to be working up, but I'm doing at least 30.
I think that's fantastic. You have to at least be doing that. I think that is phenomenal. Well done. I think the negative view of aging can sometimes make women in midlife feel irrelevant or just unimportant. But you mentioned all of these words that people, you know, especially your limitless and the confident and the powerful. What do you notice are just the commonalities among women that you talk to who use those positive words rather than diminutive words or discouraging words about how they feel, the positives about this stage of life? What are those commonalities among those women?
I'm glad you're asking me this question, because I definitely want to, you know, speak to the listener who might be thinking, I don't feel limitless. You know, I feel overwhelmed and I feel old and dated, and I don't feel great about aging. And I want to say that, again, you're not alone. You know, that even the women who come on my show who are positive or using words that feel like so empowering or confident or resilient, whatever they're using, they have all gone through something hard as well. That's, you know, so I think a common theme is that we keep going. Right. You know, so if you are in the dip of the roller coaster and you're at a low point, know that things will change. And so I think that the women who come on my show who are at a point where they're feeling better or feeling strong or feeling resilient or amazing have just kept on going. You know, they've gotten the help they needed. They've connected to the resources. They've spoken to a friend. They've shared themselves, and they, recognize that everything evolves. And so I just want to make sure I say that. Sometimes, you know, listeners will say, like, do you always feel great about aging? And the answer is, of course not. I'd like to be able to read the fine print on a medicine bottle, right? Like, I'd like to be able to use my phone without it being an 18-point font. You know, there are things I miss, like my eyesight. Like, not everything is rainbows and unicorns, but I am so grateful to be able to have the opportunity to keep going and growing. And that's what helps me when I'm in those negative dips. And that is a common theme from the women on the show too. They recognize resilience is a muscle. The more you practice it, the stronger it'll be. So, you know, just practice resilience. It builds confidence. It gets you back up to the top of the roller coaster where the ride looks fun.
That's stinking good, Katie.
Yeah. Good word. No, I feel badly because sometimes people have reached out to me and they've just said, like, I'm terrible. And it's like, you are not alone either. No, it's hard work to do these things. There are times that we don't feel good and we don't want to be putting off like a false example of what it means and have women measuring themselves against something and feeling like they're falling short, which is
exactly that feeling of like, must be nice to be you, but my experience is completely different than that. And I just appreciate your honesty with that, because I think it needs to be said that it's not all rosy. There's definitely some low moments, but I think the word resilience that you use there of it, we're all going to have those low moments, and your resilience is what counts, not whether or not you have the moments.